WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are.
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way. You can follow the channel or hang out and chat or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me as always is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin. That's your cue.
I know, I was getting to the screen. Hi everybody, we're here. We're live. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, Twitch.tv/WTLive to interact with us. You can tweet us at WildTalkRadio, at RackRadioShow, at Lens, where we got some fun and exciting stuff to talk about tonight.
Like that rock mixes cue.
It was behind another window. I had to move windows around.
I get to give you shit because of all the times that you give me shit for when I miss my cue, I get to give you shit because you missed your cue.
Yeah. And she likes the fact that she can lean into her microphone now.
I do.
So she can yell at me by leaning into her mic.
I can get really close and whisper. I have a new toy, Jet. Actually, it's a new old toy.
It's an old, very old toy. It's been around for a while.
It's just been in a closet for forever. I knew I had it. It's been, like, every time I open that closet, too, it's sitting right there staring at me.
It's right there in front of your face. I mean, it's
been in my office for ever since I moved back in the house. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I should probably set that up. But I really don't sit at my desk too much. And then I started working from home, and everything changed. So we have an upgrade in equipment. It's probably going to stay because I use it over on my stream, which is lindsward.rackradioshow.com, or search for me on YouTube. Ding!
Exactly. So, chat, we had a great story planned for you today. We had one of the greatest news stories we were ever going to report on this show.
Yeah.
Then after 30 minutes, it got dispelled.
Debunked.
Debunked. Wasn't true.
You know, honestly, it was a really good April Fool's prank. I kind of wish somebody had waited till April Fool's.
It would have been tremendous. It would have been the greatest thing we could ever talk about on this show. But we can't talk about it now.
Oh, we can. Basically, somebody punked Tony Khan by saying he was running for Congress.
Yeah, it would have been the greatest story. It would have been fantastic. We were having a whole group conversation about it this morning. Actually, I was having multiple conversations about this morning.
I mean, it definitely did a job. It got the internet at butter.
Our group chat this morning was popping off about it. We had ideas. It was going to be, we could have done a 20-minute segment on it, chat.
We could have, but sadly, it's not to be. He's not running. Although, I'm going to call my shot. I say this plants the idea in his head.
You know what? He probably was going to run at some point, but maybe not this year. Maybe it's going to be in the future year, but so it's just... Because, you know, reasons.
I mean, I could see him maybe doing it when he's older.
Yeah.
He's a little young right now to do that, and he's got multiple businesses that he would have to give up as a result. But I think when he's older, I could see him doing it, going to the political realm. So, but yeah, sadly, alas, it was a joke.
It was funny. Very, very funny.
Not like funny haha at him, but just funny in general because of all the conversations and all the ideas that it sparked. Because it was like, oh my God, it was just, we're going to have a field day with this. And the internet did for the most part.
It did. It really did. So I guess it was a thing. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about the world of other news in the world of professional wrestling and sports and entertainment. Presented by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. So what do we got on the news? This is.
So sticking with AEW, we have to offer congratulations because Keith Lee and Jay White have both at least signed, or Keith Lee has at least signed with the company. Jay White appeared last night on AEW. So they are both with the company. So congratulations to them. And congratulations to Keith Lee and Mia Yim because they both got married to each other.
Yeah. So yes, Jay White walked through the forbidden door. Keith Lee walked through the forbidden door and shut the door. So he's staying. So that's the definition. Even Jay White's
is
door.
Is it forbidden if you're not with anybody though?
No.
I don't.
No. It makes no sense. But whatever. Jay White's door is still unlocked, so he can go either way. He's working for Impact too, but he's with AEW for a period of time.
He's just everywhere. My goodness.
He's working everywhere. He's getting around.
He's the one with the knife, right?
I think. Yeah, switchblade. Yeah, knife. I had to think about it for a second. So wait, what? So yeah. Keith Lee made a debut. Hopefully, everyone looks beyond the rose-colored glasses and see what actually happened. And it's good for him. Glad he's there. Hope he does really, really well. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, I agree there. I think once he gets working again, it will help with some of the issues that we all saw. because I did see the debut, and there are some issues there. I don't want to point them out or anything like that, but you know, I think everybody did see them. But I think what will help with that is just him working in the ring and just kind of knocking some of that ring rust off a little bit, because it's been a while since he's been in a ring as far as we know. So he kind of had that run in WWE there at the end, and then he kind of didn't, and they just didn't do anything with him after that. So I think this will be great for him. I hope he has nothing but success in that company, because he's an incredibly talented individual. Great professional wrestler. He's a solid pickup for AEW. So go Keith.
Indeed.
And I'm happy it was him, because like a lot of people wanted it to be him, and I feel like the internet would have had a mad.
They popped their rating. So congratulations to them doing Tony Khan doing all his media to pop a rating. Got a popped rating last night. So congratulations to them. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if the people who tuned in last night to see who it was. Stick around.
Yeah. So moving on from there, on February 18th, which is next Friday, Rampage will air at 7 p.m. Eastern as opposed to its normal time of 10 p.m. So everybody please note that down in your calendars. Set a reminder in your phone. If you want to watch the Rampages, it will be at 7 p.m. Eastern versus 10 p.m. Eastern due to the NBA All-Star Game.
Yeah, so the rookie-sophomore game airs on TNT every Friday, every year on Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern, this year included. So, Rampage.
Is it All-Star? Is it the All-Star game?
It's All-Star weekend. So it's the All-Stars, rookies, and sophomores of the year.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. So, and the All-Star game itself airs on Sunday. That following Sunday.
Got it.
So it's all the whole weekend, which I'm happy about because I told you last night, it's like, I can finally watch the All-Star game because Chamber's not running up against it because it normally does. So that's a win.
It's definitely a win.
At least for me.
Yeah. I'm not as into the All-Star games, but I'm glad Rock's happy.
It's all about my happiness, chat.
It's all about his happiness. Moving on from there, Impact is going to be added to YouTube Sports Plus package, so stay tuned for that. That is an additional fee for your YouTube subscriptions.
Yeah, so if you have YouTube TV stuff, it's a Sports Plus package, like $10.99 extra, but you get the Fight Network and Impact Wrestling content. So congrats to Anthem Sports and Entertainment for getting that on the YouTube Sports Plus package. They're making strides, they're growing, they're adding more ways to see the product, and that's all you want.
Which is what we want to see for Impact.
Yeah, you want to see them continue to grow and not stagnate. And while their U.S. television deal isn't the greatest channel to be on, at least they're developing places to see it outside of traditional television, so that's good for them. They're growing, they're expanding, etc., etc., etc.
Actually, it's probably better that they're going on YouTube, because traditional media isn't always the best, and if they can get on YouTube and be seen on YouTube, I think that's good for them. I think it's better than their TV deal. Just pointing that out. Staying on Impact, Lance Storm has joined Impact Wrestling as a trainer / producer, so that's another solid pickup for them. He will have a lot of insights.
That's a really good pickup for them. He was working for WWE, and then the pandemic happened and couldn't travel, so was no longer with them. So now that things are opening up again, he can get to come in and out once every 6 weeks or so, is basically how they tape, or every month, or whatever it is, at least at this point, because they're taping a lot more. Impact's traveling a lot more, which is great for them. They're traveling to different places, taping their TV in front of people, so that's always helpful. So if Impact's coming to your area, go see it.
Support them.
But yeah, Lance Storm will be part of the one day only gut check at the Arnold Classic in March. So look for, if you want to become get scouted by Impact Wrestling, go to the Arnold Classic.
Ding. And then last but certainly not least, let's get to WWE, which this is kind of an other and a WWE story. Santino Marella, his daughter, has signed with WWE as a developmental talent. So congratulations for her. I know there was a lot of lobbying going on both of their parts to get them to sign her, and their efforts have paid off. So good for them.
Yeah, his daughter Bianca will be a part of WWE, headed to the Performance Center and going to learn how to become a WWE superstar.
Ding. Ron Simmons will be the next guest on Austin's Broken Skull Session, so stay tuned for that.
I believe that's next week.
Damn.
Yeah.
It's flying. And last but certainly not least,
it is flying, yeah.
WWE UK superstar Candy Floss's contract expired back in December, so she's no longer with the company.
Correct.
Let's do the Blind Browns.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
So this one's a little unfortunate, actually a lot unfortunate. Leah Rush suffered a dislocated shoulder.
# blame Brent.
Last weekend at PWG, suffered it.
So hopefully he recovers quickly, because that sucks.
That does suck.
So I say, we talk Impact.
Impact.
Or I'm sorry, NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
So let me tell you something, brother.
So many brothers. I never want to cover a Hulk Hogan promo ever again. Like, that made me cry so hard.
Brother. Oh yeah, dig it, brother. Oh yeah.
Anyway, NXT. This was a good show. Lots of prep for the Dusty Classic.
It was a lot of prep for the Dusty Classic. We had a semifinal match. The Grizzled Young Veterans taking on the Creed Brothers. Oh my god, the Creed Brothers showed out on Tuesday night.
Yeah, they did.
This was a really good match.
Yeah, they did.
This was a lot of fun. Both teams played off each other well. Lots of near falls. This was a lot of fun. And the Creed Brothers are supposed to be heels, but they were baby faces by the end. And they've advanced into the finals of the Dusty Cup.
Which is a good thing. Which is very exciting. Mm-hmm. So congratulations to them. Also, Malcolm Bivens did his Malcolm Bivens thing. I feel a little bad for Roderick Strong, because he's just kind of pushed off into the background.
He was just off in the background, like, I'm here. Remember me? I'm right here.
This is technically my thing, but it's all about Malcolm Bivens now, so.
But I'm here. If in case you can't see me, I'm wearing the dark jumpsuit. I'm here.
I'm present. Please do something for Roderick Strong. Please.
He'll be fine. Mackenzie Mitchell and was interviewing Coral Jade and talking about the match with in the Dusty Cup or Dusty Classic in 2 weeks. And then the Valentina and Yuslick show up and how they shouldn't look past them. And then there's lots of Spanish involved. And Cora wanted to know what was being said. And Raquel just said, don't worry about it. And yeah.
The insults were flying, chat.
We had Spanish curse words, basically.
Which, respect.
Yeah, lots of respect. We had Tiffany Stratton taking on Wendy Chu.
This was good. I just can't get into Tiffany Stratton's character. I'm having a hard time with it. I don't know why. I don't connect with her at all.
It's hard, it's hard to connect to her character, what they're trying to portray her as, because only a certain type of people will connect to it, and then certain fan bases would enjoy it. That's the best way to put it.
Like, she's doing Cher from Clueless.
In a way, kind of.
But she's not doing, like, the Cher that we all like. She's doing bitchy Cher. She's doing, like, if Cher was on Beverly Hills 90210.
That's a good way to describe it.
And I just have a really hard time, like, connecting with that.
That's a good way to describe it. Tiffany would get the win over Wendy Chu. So there was that. We had a promo, Draco Anthony talking, and he was interrupted by Gacy and Harlan, and, you know, Gacy's here to listen.
I don't want to talk about it.
Peter Dune was interviewed about his upcoming match with Tony D'Angelo next week, and Tony's gone silent on Twitter since losing to Cameron Grimes, and it's hard to tweet with a broken hand, and then, Draco Anthony walked up and said it's an honor to face a match, and Peter's like, okay, whatever.
Saw a little promo.
Which led to the match, Anthony and Peter Dune. Good match. It was pretty solid. Peter would get the win. You had Tony D'Angelo try to interfere, but it did not work to his, manner. And then Peter Dune upped the stakes for next week's cage match. We got weapons in a cage.
Hey!
As they're calling
it. Getting violent.
We're calling it a weaponized cage match.
Isn't that just a monster's ball without a roof?
It's more like a Lethal Lockdown without the teams.
Fair.
Or the Clockwork Orange House of Fun match with more than one side.
Okay, fair.
Or the Ambrose Asylum.
So basically what you're saying is JB's got his hands all over this shit.
Mainly, except for the Ambrose Asylum with Dean's cage match with the plant, remember?
Yeah, but we don't know that JB wasn't involved with that.
I don't know if he was. I don't know if he was around then. Anyway, you had Zoe Stark and Io Shirai chatting about the Dusty Classic coming up. And so he's basically trying to tell Shirai to get a new partner, and you need to find a partner as crazy as you. And he was like, "All right,
Be too hard.
I have an idea, but I'm not going to tell you." We had more interaction between Dakota Kai and Wendy Chu. Who, Dakota was messing around with the stuff Wendy Chu bought with Tiffany's credit card. Clothes won't buy you victories in the ring.
Okay, maybe I don't need victories in the ring if I have nice clothes.
LA Knight took on Sangha. I think that's how you pronounce it. Who had Grayson Waller in his corner. LA Knight would get the win.
Okay, I approve wholeheartedly of this use of Grayson Waller. This is a good way to use him.
He shit talks as big guy do the fighting.
Although, I have to ask the question, did they recycle Braun Strowman's ring gear? I really want to know. Like, I understand that there's only so much ring gear in the world and so many designs, but I swear to God that looked like some of Strowman's old gear.
I don't think so.
I don't think so, but it looked like it.
So, after the match, Waller attacked LA Knight, but LA Knight saw it coming, and then talked about how, you know, we should have a match next week. And Waller said, maybe on that, or maybe you're going to get arrested next week because of the restraining order. So, there's that. We had Mackenzie Mitchell interviewing Duke Hudson about Dante Chen winning revenge on him. Hudson said that Chen has been talking all week about it, but it's nowhere to be seen. Hudson said saying something is different than stepping up, and the Singaporean war isn't as tough as he thinks he is, and wondered if Hudson had something to do with his disappearance. And Hudson's like, Chen's not here for a reason, and that's a scoop. And then he wished Indy luck next week. And for her to bring home the tag titles to Australia.
By the way, where did Zion Quinn go?
I don't know.
I feel like he hasn't been on TV in like a hot minute.
It's been like a month. So we had the contract signed between Santos Escobar and Bron Breakker. And, you know, Bron knows how this is going to go. Well, let's just keep it simple, and then I'm going to beat you, and then let's flip the table and let's go. Before he could, Escobar then talked about how he doesn't realize that while people like Paul Heyman are calling him the future, he's plotted to end his career, and before Braun could respond, out came Dolph Ziggler. He said, "It's been quite a moment how the NXT champion Chandler wanted to throw down, but the moment has changed when he shows up." Ziggler brought up Braun Breakker trying to chase clout on Twitter with him, and Ziggler said he's getting a bonus to work thanks to the Ace Man. Ziggler said he's not paid by the hour, and he's wondering who Braun is. Breakker said he's the NXT champion, and that's the reason Ziggler showed up. Breakker said he'll hinder Ziggler after he handles Escobar. Ziggler said, "That's an amateur move. You're looking past your upcoming challenger." Ziggler then talked about everything he's done in WWE, former world champion, yada, yada, yada. He knows he loses the majority of his matches, but we all know what what he can do any day of the week. He can steal the show. Ziggler said one title has never held as the NXT Championship. Crowd wanted a triple threat. Ziggler said, I don't care what they said. All he has to do is be inside Braun Breaker's head. Ziggler said, all my take is a thumb to the eye. This then brought out Tommaso Ciampa. The moment have Ziggler in the ring, and he kept calling him boy. Or kid, it was. It was kid. He called him kid. Ciampa said he liked Ziggler's spirit. Escobar was like, what's the hell's going on? Escobar told Ziggler he doesn't go here, and he's just here for some mean tweets. Escobar said that once he becomes NXT champion, he'll injure Ziggler and add Ciampa. Ciampa said that if Escobar interrupts again, he will make it to Vengeance Day. Ciampa said he's next in line after Vengeance Day for the title, unless Ziggler wants to contest that. Ziggler said that Ciampa calls this home, yet the same few hundred Florida people clap like seals to Ciampa no matter what Ciampa does. Ziggler asked, when does it end? Ciampa gave Ziggler a big-ass boot right to the face, and everything ended up in a brawl.
I'm just gonna say this. Santos Escobar's dick is just too big for NXT. That man has so much damn swag. Why have they not called him up? Why are they not, like, doing things with him?
I could not tell you.
Like, they had a thing going with them for a while. Like, the whole, like, they do. They have the whole mafia vibe. Like, the whole group, it's so tight. Why are they not doing more with it? Like, for the love of God, you need interesting characters. Put him on the main roster. Please put him on the main roster. Send him up with the group. Don't change it. Don't change names. Don't do anything. Just put it on TV and let it go. Please.
Saray took on Dakota Kai. Saray would end up getting the win. Good match.
Very good match. Although Dakota was very pink.
She's always very pink. Indy was chatting with Dexter Lumis on the phone about having a bubble bath when they get home, and then Persia's like, are you actually talking to Dexter, or are you talking to Duke? Because Duke wished you luck. Gigi and JC showed up, taunting them. Then Gigi brought in a photo of Hudson and Hartwell hanging out together and how they were old friends. Dum dum dum.
Doesn't mean anything.
Dum dum dum.
Also, Dexter will probably, like, end him.
Also, Duke's been hitting on Indy's mom on Twitter, so.
A lot.
They had, yeah.
It's awkward.
It's very awkward. But that's where we're at this point. So, Josh Briggs was coaching up Brooks Jensen on how to ask out Ken and Carter on a date for Valentine's Day. They're going to hang out next week. All four of them. They're going to the movies. Briggs noted it cost about $20 per person, and he only had $8. Cap. Anyway. Semifinals. Idris Inouye and Malik Blade took on MSK. MSK advances to the finals of the Dusty Classic next week.
So we have MSK versus the Diamond Mine. Okay. Let's go.
Should be good. We had a promo package for Cameron Grimes.
He's doing it for the whole trailer park, y'all. Mm-hmm. It's so emotional.
Wendy Chu saw Dakota back saying it's not easy as it looks. And then in your main event for the NXT Women's Championship, Kaylee Ray, Mandy Rose. Mandy Rose would retain the championship. You had interference from JC and Gigi. It was good.
This was good. I like this. And I like how they set it up at the end to basically have it where Kaylee can come back again because there was interference. It wasn't clean. So definitely like that they did that.
And afterwards, while they were taunting Kaylee with the bat, Io ran down and cleared house. So
I think Io and Kaylee Ray.
I think we found the crazy partner for the Dusty Classic. I don't know about you. I think that's where we're at.
I mean, I'm down.
I'm down with that.
I think we're all down with that. But yeah, this was a good show. So we're building to Vengeance Day. We're building to the end of the Dusty Classic. So this should be good. This should be fun. But with that, I say we take a break.
Before we do, Vengeance Day is next Tuesday on Sci-Fi Network. Make sure you watch. And we'll review it all next week on the show. Now we go to break. Ding.
Okay, let's go to break. So when we come back, we're going to be having the return of Tweet of the Week. And then, because Valentine's Day is Monday, and well, it doesn't seem appropriate to do it next Thursday, we are going to be doing a wrestling wedding tier list. That's right. We've got 24 wrestling weddings that we're going to be talking about and ranking. 25, and even 25 that we're going to be ranking. So one slipped in there under the radar. So we'll be doing that after the break. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports. video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night
event.
CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked.
What?
What they didn't like.
What?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
11 p.m. Eastern.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
Did you know you can use support a creator code Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
You can look, but you can't touch. You keep dreaming on the stars above.
Hi, this is Bree,
and this is Nikki, and we're the Bell Twins, and you're listening to the Rap Radio Show.
Something in your eyes lets me see right.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and subscribe for free. It is that simple. Or you can also, you know, subscribe the regular way, follow us, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, it's back to Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on my space until the spammers ended up taking over my place. And I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Grayson Waller. Spent my night sharing a cheesecake and a few sneaky drinks with Mama Hartwell. Hey, Indy Hartwell. Might have to start calling me Poppy soon. Indy responds, what the fuck? Koi Dao, hashtag new profile pic, and it's a picture of Erica Harlacher. Erica responds, so we all know who I'm going after first if I get imposter on Sunday night for the Among Us stream. Koi responds, who are you? And she goes, I'm you, but verified.
Damn.
He goes throwing up everywhere.
Damn.
She just ended his hand. Britana, seeking a date for Valentine's Day. I think February 14th might be a good one. Thoughts? Hangman Page, I'm tired of bleeding every month. Bitch, me too.
God, Hackman.
Freshly Steve. Hey, Adam, menstruation jokes aren't funny. Period.
You see what he did there? You see?
Bagroom bully. Come on. Just go with the flow.
You see what they...
Laura Stahl. I got Koidow an Apple Watch and made the mistake of showing him the walkie-talkie application, so now I will never get any work done ever again. And he just follows up with a smiley face and a radio. You've never seen him in action. He is the most hilarious random person on the planet. It's amazing. She's also screwed.
Yeah, completely.
Anyway, that's all I have.
That's all you have. Trying to set this one up. All right. So Elgato tweeted about their new stream pedal thing. Okay. It's like a pedal you can do things with as a first stream deck. Cool. Dr. Lubo, I is the eyes emoji. Pool Shark. Imagine how much better you could team kill me and steal my gun if you had some hands free button presses. Dr. Lubo, you got outplayed hard today. I understand the salt. Pool Shark replies with a whack gif. Lupo then does one throwing someone in the dumpster. Pool Shark then says you and then does a gif of a squirrel. Lupo. Sorry, I got distracted by literally the smallest movement of anything. What did you say? Pool Shark. I said, that was me you just rained down lead upon. My bad, must have missed that. Dead can't speak. GG though, Lamau, said Lupo.
Can we just talk about the fact that they have a trophy for whoever gets the most TKs for the end of the wipe, and it has a chicken, and somebody can literally own the fuck chicken?
That is fantastic.
That is just top quality shit right there.
That is top quality shit. Dr. Lubo continued. Dear Elgato, do you have a device that will remind Pool Shark to communicate where he is so his teammates don't shoot the hell out of him anymore mid-raid? This has been a problem for weeks. Thank you. Elgato, we consulted with our devs. They said, impossible.
Let's see what you did there.
Let's see. Tom Heffernan. These last few episodes of the NFL have been pretty intense. Or pretty insane, rather. Let's see. Is the original tweet still here? Good as gold. So I think Adam Pierce tweeted about football, hating football. Seth Rollins tweeted, good as gold, baby. Adam Pierce replied, I hate you. And then Seth Rollins sent the picture up back of the I hate you part because, you know, reasons. You tell how old these tweets were in footballs. Grant Bisbee, everyone stop making fun of Aaron Rodgers. He hates being needled. Trying to scroll up through all of the chains. Courage JD. Courage JD. In the last 2 weeks, Chat, you have to listen up to this one. In the last 2 weeks, Tim the Tap Man predicted Packers W versus 49ers. Wrong. Tampa W versus Rams. Wrong. Bills W versus Chiefs. Wrong. Chiefs W versus Bengals. Wrong. 49ers W versus Rams. Wrong. He is absolutely the worst jinx in the history of modern day sports.
I actually kind of want to, like, put money down on the Super Bowl. Like, not a lot, maybe like $10, $20, right? Mm-hmm. Just to see what happens. But I feel like everybody's going to be betting against him, so I almost want to, like, bet with him just to see if enough people bet against him that it changes a tie, but I don't know.
No, okay, so Matt, Tim the Tap Man, famous YouTube streamer Tim the Tap Man, is terrible at picking these football games. Not Subway bet. This is a jinx. He's a goddamn jinx. The teams would be up. He would tweet about how good the team is doing. And then immediately, the team would then start to be on the losing end. He jinxed them all. He jinxed the Chiefs. He jinxed the 49ers a couple weeks ago. He's jinxed them all. But he's a Cowboys fan, so, you know. So we go. Action Jackson. Tim Tapman's best friend. Now I know why we never won a single championship in high school.
Oh.
Dr. Lupo, don't tweet next season, please, at Tim the Tapman.
Oh, no. They all came for him on Sunday. They all came for him.
Frank Caliendo, I wish Tom Brady had waited one more day and officially retired on Groundhog Day.
Oh my God, that would have been perfect.
Richard Triumfo, I'm waiting for the debut of the new Forgotten Sons. Shane McMahon and Paul Levesque. Eartobe posted a video of Fortnite shaking. What's with the shakes? Fortnite, LOL. Squatting Dog. The Kraken. Are you even new to gaming?
Quality reference. Quality. Why do I feel like they could actually put a Kraken in just to finally pay that off?
We could have the Kraken event this year. Who knows?
Like, I actually low-key want them to do that at some point just to fuck with everybody. Because it's such a joke at this point, thanks to Courage and all them, that it's like, yeah, you really should do a Kraken event just to, like, actually pay it off.
Wendy's. Hi. I'm Johnny Knoxville and ... Sir, this is Wendy's. Becky Lynch. Work so hard, your heroes become your rivals, then become so good, Ric Flair loses his mind every time you breathe, said Becky Lynch, February 2022. And finally, from NFL memes. Big news from the NFL. Statement from NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. The NFL, it seems, the players are deeply worried regarding the unprecedented situation that has unfolded as a result of last week's NFC Championship game between the Los Angeles Rams and San Francisco 49ers. For the second straight year, there will be a team with an unfair home advantage in the Super Bowl. As an organization, we have tried to avoid this situation by utilizing neutral sites. But having it occur 2 years in a row is cause for change. To guarantee this will never happen, the league has come to a unanimous decision to move every Super Bowl following the season to AT&T Stadium in Dallas, Texas.
I mean, appropriate. It's not like it's ever going to make it there anyway.
By the way, congratulations apparently to Aaron Rodgers for winning the NFL MVP.
Okay. I feel like there are... No offense to Aaron. I feel like there are people who are maybe more deserving.
No, he had a really good year this year.
He acted like a bitch this year.
Yes, but...
I feel like some of that should be taken into account.
Bitchiness does not play a factor in voting. I know it should, but it doesn't. Anyway, that was Tweet of the Week.
That was Tweet of the Week. All right, so now... Chat, in honor of Valentine's Day, which is Monday, in case anybody forgot, you gentlemen, ladies, and everyone in between, you have 4 days to get your sweetheart or significant other or partner something for Valentine's Day. Don't forget, be thoughtful, be creative. Please don't go to the grocery store and buy flowers at the last minute, please. But anyway, in honor of Valentine's Day, we are doing a wrestling wedding tier list where
Hold on. Before you continue on, you can also use credit card Rocket Soccer or Lindsay Ward in the Fortnite item shop by your significant other and epic new skin in Fortnite. Hashtag epic partner.
Did you really just fucking interrupt me?
Yes.
For, like, a plug?
Yes. Yes. Bruno Mars is in the item shop, so if your significant other likes Bruno Mars, buy Bruno Mars in the item shop.
Okay, I'm just going to say this. The Genshin updates drops next week. Use code Lindsay Moore in the Epic Game Store, the Genshin Store, to get your premium gems. Thank you.
Now we can talk about it.
Anyway, we are going to break down the 25 wrestling weddings that you see below the tier list. If you're on the Twitch, if you're on the archive, I'm sorry. And you're listening on, like, the radio archive, I'm sorry. You can't see it. But on the technology screen on the Twitch... we have a tier list and we have 25 weddings on there and we are going to talk about them and rank them. And as you see, our categories are not worthy, romantic, match made in heaven, match made in hell, Vegas quality. We have used all wrestling weddings. We have not used any wrestlers' actual weddings, which the exception of possibly Savage and Elizabeth.
But that that happened in a wrestling environment.
That happened in a wrestling environment. It was on TV, so it's fair game. But yeah, we have not, just so everybody's aware, we have not used any wrestlers' actual weddings. We're not going to rank them. We're not going to talk about the dresses, even though some of the dresses are gorgeous. We're not going to talk about it because that's mean to talk about actual weddings.
Actual weddings. But we're going to criticize the hell out of the dresses here.
Of course.
Because that's what we do. Or praise them, because there's a lot of good ones.
There's a lot of good ones. I mean, I will give credit where credit is due, because there are a lot of WWE weddings on this. WWE, I don't know if it's the girls that go and pick them themselves, or if there's a costume designer that does it. But whoever does the wedding dresses for WWE, they are on point, man. They know how to pick that stuff. Like, they got that down.
They do.
So,
where do you want to begin?
Let's start with number one. Let's talk about Miss Elizabeth and Randy Savage at SummerSlam 1991. The benchmark, I feel like, for wrestling weddings.
So, it's a classic wedding because it actually went through and then it had a big after party where angles happened. It is a one wedding that... You know, it was the wrestling wedding before wrestling weddings became a trend in the 90s, the pop ratings. Or in the 2000s, the pop ratings, I should say. I don't think it's, to me, categorizing it based on our categories. I think it falls romantic.
I would say it's romantic. I mean, I will be completely honest, just on the attire, I'm not sure who's more fabulous, him or her. I think he actually outshines her in this. Mm-hmm. Although she's got a beautiful classic 1980s, 1990s wedding dress going on there with the big puffy sleeves and the lace and the beads and all the things, right? Like, she's got a beautiful dress. Like, he outdoes her in this. But yeah, this is definitely a benchmark for wrestling weddings. It set a bar where everything was kind of compared to it for a really, really long time before they went in just a really cheesy direction. But yeah, this is definitely romantic. I wouldn't say it's not worthy, but it's definitely romantic.
Yeah, so it's our A tier in some fashion. Okay, what's next?
So let's just talk about it. Stephanie McMahon has made this list for a number of occasions.
Yeah, there are many
and they came in rapid succession.
Yeah.
She got active in 99. We'll just say it. So the first one is Stephanie McMahon versus Test Raw 1999. Actually, no. You know what? No. Let's backtrack that. Let's do them in order. Stephanie McMahon and Triple H Raw 1999 Vegas. Because those two kind of go hand in hand.
They go hand in hand, yeah.
The wedding that started it all, the angle that started it all for Triple H and Stephanie. And here's the thing. It's definitely Vegas quality because they got married Vegas on TV.
Yeah, but it's better than Vegas.
It's better than Vegas because I actually want to make it a match made in heaven because they ended up falling in love with each other and they ended up getting married in real life.
Yeah, I'm okay with putting it there.
Like, I think that's actually where it should go. Because this was the angle that started it all. And I mean, we're not going to talk about all the stuff that happened in the in between, but this was it. This was the angle. This was the moment. This was everything. So I'm going to go match made in heaven on that.
It's when innocent Stephanie was no longer innocent after some dark times happened first. But what you're going to get to in a minute. But the whole big setup for the entire summer and into the fall was the love story between Stephanie McMahon and Andrew Martin, a.k.a. Test. And Stephanie had a concussion, and then everything had transpired. And this was all after the whole black wedding mess and her father having, doing the whole setup with The Undertaker and was involved in all that. But it was like, we got to get this wedding. So it's months in the making. You had Shane McMahon fighting to stop it back at SummerSlam. And he could not stop it. So they finally, in the fall, they got it together. And they had their wedding. This was the birth of really became Stephanie McMahon's big breakout moment. Because this, only weeks later, after, her not marrying Tess and marrying Hunter, became the Stephanie McMahon Helmsley, and then it birthed everything. This should go in hell, though.
This is a match made in hell, because this wedding did not go through. The Hunter-Stephanie reveal happened in this wedding. But yeah, I can agree with match made in hell, because everything kind of went to hell.
Because the Vegas moment was the bigger moment between the two.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's kind of the Vegas moment will always be one of those holy shit they went there moments.
Like, I love that Hunter just went, do the voice. I do. And all that stuff. It was great.
It was fantastic. It was absolutely fantastic. And we can't not rank it because even The Undertaker had a wrestling wedding. I will never, ever, ever in a million years let people forget that Vince McMahon and The Undertaker christened Stephanie into the WWE with the black wedding, with the Ministry of Darkness angle. This is a match made in hell. Like, this is totally a match made in hell. You had, The Undertaker go full-on stalker on Stephanie. He kidnapped her. They tried to brainwash her, I think, at one point. Like, they strapped her to the Undertaker symbol, and there was just all kind of dark connotation going on there at that point. So, yeah, but this was the Undertaker actually having a wrestling wedding, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely a match made in hell, though. Although, I still do harbor a theory that they're actually secretly married and that at some point it's all going to get revealed. I don't think now because he retired, but I actually really always wanted that. That, at some point, especially when Hunter and Stephanie split in the mid-2000s, that they did something with Taker and Steph, because she always would give him hard eyes anytime they worked together. You can't tell me she doesn't have a crush on him. She totally has a crush on him. Look at the way that she looks at him and tell me she doesn't have a crush on him. Anyway, I always wanted them to do, a storyline between the two where it's actually Hunter and Taker. Hunter and Taker. No. Taker and Steph, where they're actually married, like that all comes out and they've been like running the show behind the scenes. Like I always felt like that was such a missed opportunity with them. Just saying, you could have done it. You still could, actually. You really still could, but they won't. Anyway, I tangented because speaking of the split, Stephanie McMahon and Triple H, Raw 2002, the vow renewal between Hunter and Stephanie, where Stephanie lied saying she was pregnant to keep Hunter, and it all went to hell.
She conned him into doing this thing because they were having problems when he came back, and she conned him by saying that she's pregnant and to do the vow renewal. And then it ends up with him just not going through with it, then them starting the divorce process. And yeah, evil bitch Stephanie came out at the end.
The iconic Stephanie in the white wedding dress, like her hair and makeup all mussed because there had been a fight, just screaming with like her eyes just full of rage.
Yeah,
like that is an iconic shot of her.
It is. To rank
I don't know how to put this.
It's hard.
Because it's technically, it's romantic, or it's a match made in heaven and match made in hell, because it just continued. I think they did it because she was either getting ready to get married, or Vince put them on a break, or something like that. But
no,
I almost want to say...
They did it because Hunter was going babyface, and she's not a babyface.
Well, that too. I almost want to say, I want to put it in match made in hell. Because it's not the same kind of moment, right? Like, the Vegas wedding was what started it all between the two. And then this was just a continuation, because I think they were married by this point.
No. They got married a year and a half after this. But they were dating at this point.
They were dating at this point. So, yeah, I would say this is a match made in hell.
Because this was February 02. They got married, what, November, October 03? Something like that?
Something like that, maybe. I don't remember. It's been a long time. God, they've almost been married 20 years. Wow.
All right, what's next?
Vicky Guerrero and Edge from SmackDown 2008. This is hard because this whole storyline with Vicky and Edge and the Edgeheads and the whole them making the Undertaker's life hell for about 6 to 8 months is like quintessential SmackDown for me.
Yeah.
Like I that storyline will always stand out in my mind because of how well done it was.
Mm-hmm.
And Vicky and Edge were just fantastic together. Till they weren't, and then they were even better.
Yeah.
I almost want to say like the wedding itself, I want to say it was like a... because it goes into match made in heaven and match made in hell. Like, it works for both. Because the storyline was really good and they worked really well together. But obviously, we know how it ended.
Mm-hmm.
So, what to do? What do you think?
I was honestly leaning towards Vegas quality.
I could do that too.
But, yeah, I'm going Vegas. Between hell and Vegas, but we'll go Vegas.
We can put it in Vegas.
Because as a wedding itself, it wasn't as...
Yeah, it wasn't, and that's hard. It's like the storyline. Like, that was the wedding, from what I remember, it was like you were waiting for the Undertaker to show up, and he never showed up because they had banished him, I think, at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So he wouldn't show up. And so, like, the wedding actually went through. Like, they got married. And so, yeah, I think I can put it as Vegas quality.
All right, what's next?
Up next, we have what I consider the modern benchmark for wrestling weddings, or a modern benchmark, because I think it's actually been dethroned at this point. ODB and Eric Young get married on Impact.
This is 100% not worthy. 100%.
100% not worthy, yes. You had a camo wedding dress. They got married in a steel cage. I think Eric stripped down to his underwear at one point.
They both did.
They both did, that's right. I mean, this was just...
Everything.
This was one of the best wrestling weddings I've ever seen in my life. And it went through. Actually got married.
Because they were the Knockouts tag team champion.
It was just... This was one of the best things Impact ever did.
Yeah.
And it still stands out as a benchmark for a wrestling wedding because it was so over the top. It was so cheesy. It was so stupid. But Eric and ODB and everybody involved just owned the ever-living shit out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, you know, they own being a couple. It was really good.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely not worthy. This is like a gold standard, for sure. And well, not to be outdone by his brother, let's talk about Lita and Kane. Where Kane... forced Lita in 2004 to marry him.
Yeah.
We had a black wedding dress. Kane was in all white. This is right after I think Kane lost his mask. Still crazy.
A year after he lost his mask, yeah. It's very crazy. She was forced to marry him, and because wasn't she having his child too?
Yeah. I think that's how they did it. Yeah, yeah. They kind of, he baby trapped her and forced her into marrying him. I will say, like, my one disappointment with that storyline, because they kind of had her start to do it, even if it was false, was that she started to kind of come around to Kane and his way of thinking, and I almost would have liked to have seen them, like, do things together where she embraces the evil or she embraces the darkness and they run around and just wreak havoc. Like, I kind of always wish they had done that with them, but they didn't, because I think at that point, didn't the Matt Hardy story break? Was that then or was that later?
No, that was Lita and Edge.
Yeah, so the Matt Hardy stuff kind of came out with her and Edge and Matt, and that sort of put an end to the storyline where you had Snitsky kick the baby. That's where this comes from, mm-hmm. This whole storyline. So, oh lord, match made in hell.
Yeah.
Totally match made in hell. Which leads us to what I would consider Vegas quality. Edge and Lita from Raw 2005. Lita successfully divorces Kane. Basically went tits out.
Yes, she did.
Like, majorly tits out.
I had to scour hard to find a picture that did not have her tits out.
I mean, for 2005, this was a very, very risque wedding dress. It'd probably be fine now. But yeah, this is Vegas quality, because I think this is where you had Bischoff dress up as the officiant.
No. Bischoff was Billy and Chuck.
That's right.
No, this was the whole Matt Hardy thing and everything like that. Yeah.
Kane coming up from under a potted plant.
All those things.
Like, it was hilarious. It was great. But yeah, this was definitely Vegas quality.
100%.
For sure.
100%. All right, next.
Dawn Marie and Al Wilson, SmackDown 2003.
For the ending plot point of him, dying, yeah. Vegas quality.
Yeah, I can go with Vegas quality. Like, it was just a plot device for the feud between Tori and Dawn.
Yeah.
But 1000% Vegas quality.
Yeah. All right, next.
Up next, we have AJ Lee and Daniel Bryan from Raw 2012, where Bryan was trying to trap AJ into marriage so he could have her declared insane and committed, and AJ was having none of that.
And then she became Raw GM.
Everything
about this whole storyline was great.
I wanted them to do things with AJ and Kane. I weep every time they didn't do the thing. There was chemistry there. There was such chemistry there. And they didn't do it. It was so sad.
It broke. Their chemistry broke Daniel Bryan out of the performer. Yeah, Jet. His storyline with AJ made him as a WWE superstar.
This led to Team Hell No. This led to all the things with Daniel Bryan. This was the breakout moment for sure. The wedding itself, I mean, let's say match made in hell, because it clearly was a match made in hell. But
I would go heaven.
You would go heaven?
I would go
Why
heaven.
Why would you go heaven?
Because of the quality of the storytelling that led up to it. It wasn't a quick little thing. Like, you know, Edge and Lita, you know, Lita and Kane, you know, had a little story, but this had layers to it and had layers afterwards. So I'd put it in heaven if we're ranking them.
Okay.
I would move it into heaven.
I can do heaven. That's fine.
Okay, next.
Up next, we have Lana and Bobby Lashley, Raw 2019. Oh, this glorious clusterfuck of a wedding.
100% Vegas quality.
100% Vegas quality.
It was trashy goodness. You had Liv Morgan, the lesbian lover of Lana, coming for revenge. You had Rusev and wanting revenge. Yeah. You had all the trashiness.
It was perfect. It was complete trash. Loved everything about it. And to follow it up, Lana and Rusev get married on Raw. And so, this was, I don't think they actually got married, but basically they were building up to their wedding on Total Divas. And so they tied it in the wrestling storylines where she just ran around in wedding dresses and he ran around in tuxes and that kind of thing. And so
they reviewed their wedding pictures and stuff because they had just gotten married. So they came back and then got interrupted by Roman and there was a bunch of cake.
Yeah. So I'm going to call this match made in heaven because obviously this has to do with their royal wedding. They're still married. They're still very much in love. So match made in heaven, even though they got divorced on TV.
I'm okay with that.
Up next, we have Maryse and Miz, the vow renewal from Raw 2021. This was just, I don't know whether to make this romantic or not worthy.
I go romantic.
I can go romantic on it just because it's Maurice and Miz and they're owning the shit out of it and they're married in real life and they're adorable.
Mm-hmm.
So I can definitely go with romantic.
Yeah, Dark Bishop,
even though
Eric Bischoff revising his role as a minister.
Even though it's cheesy as hell,
mm-hmm.
it's just really good. Up next, Goldust and Oksana. NXT.
Between hell and quality, Vegas quality, I think.
I can go Vegas quality.
Yeah, we can just go with that. All right, next.
Up next, Laurel Van Ness and Braxton Sutter from Impact. This led to Laurel Van Ness losing her shit and running around beating people up.
The crazy chick, Laurel Van Ness, is a great character. Chelsea Green played that so well. The wedding itself, match made in hell. But yeah, the character that came out of it was fantastic.
I'm down with that. I'm okay with that.
All right, there.
Match made in hell. All right, up next, Stacy Keibler and David Flair.
Trash. All the Vegas quality. All
this
the way.
Is such Vegas quality.
It's David Flair and Stacy Keibler. Before Stacy Keibler, it has David Flair and the Flairs and it's Vegas quality.
She stripped during the wedding.
Because that's what Miss Hancock would do.
Just saying. Okay. We put it on the list. We're going to talk about it. Billy and Chuck from SmackDown 2002.
Not worthy.
Not worthy.
100% not worthy. Because it led to everything that was great. I mean, it was a big giant publicity stuff that Rico put together for them and everything like that. And Billy and Chuck are like, is this really a thing? And Rico's urging them on. Yeah, do the thing. Everything's fine. Everything is fine. And then you have the minister there doing all the whole shtick. And then talking about objections. And did somebody say 3 minutes?
And then you have Eric Bischoff rip off the makeup. And there he is. And you have 3 minute warning, come out and take them out. But yeah, this was actually fairly groundbreaking for Raw, especially.
SmackDown.
Or I'm sorry, SmackDown in 2002. Like, this was actually really, really, really groundbreaking with the way that they handled this and did this whole thing.
Yeah, it's network television.
And so just that alone makes it not worthy.
Yeah, but it led to the, did somebody say 3 minutes?
Yep. And then they hit the sirens and it's like, oh, snap, here we go.
Rico would then turn on them and, you know, he would then manage 3 minute warning.
Yep. So up next we have Crystal and Teddy Long on SmackDown 2007.
It ends up with him fainting and everything.
Vegas quality.
Yeah. Vegas quality. Yeah.
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 We're going to just leave it at that. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 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 SoCal Val and Jay Lethal Slammiversary 2008. Black Machismo.
Black Machismo at its finest. Oh, yeah. Dig it. Vegas quality.
Okay. I can go with that.
Next.
Kurt and Karen Angle Impact 2008.
Hell.
Definitely match made in hell. Definitely. Seeing as they got divorced and she ended up marrying Jeff Jarrett.
And then, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The thing that inspired this whole list, the reason why it's been sitting in our sheet for months on end, Indy Hartwell and Dexter Gaylord Loomis, NXT 2021. This is not worthy, and I will fight anybody who says it's not.
100%.
This, for a wrestling wedding, is a benchmark. It's well done. It's so well done. The storyline in the follow-up after has been shit, but the build to this...
But it was it was like 8 months build or something like that.
It was supposed to be a one-off, and people took to it so hard that they actually built a storyline around it and continued it and went through with the wedding. And, like, this whole thing up to it was so good. And then the wedding itself was so good. The fact that we had, like, the bachelorette party and the bachelor party, and we had the Garganos come around to Dexter, because they were so not about Dexter, right? They're like, no, he's a bad guy. He's a creepy guy, right? And that led to Johnny and Dexter becoming BFFs. And then Johnny left, which was really sad. But it led to, like, just some amazing things that happened in terms of Dexter in the way. And I just, yeah. This is not worthy. This is an absolute benchmark for wrestling weddings. This was well done.
Yeah.
And I will stand on this hill until somebody pushes me off of it.
Nah, I'm not pushing you off of it.
Okay. Brooke Hogan and Bully Ray, Impact 2013.
They had great chemistry together.
They did.
The whole eight. I know a lot of people didn't like the Ace and Eight stuff. I loved it. It was great stuff. And Bully played it well. Brooke's role was good in it, too.
I think just, like, it started good, but it kind of sort of got ridiculous there for a while.
Oh, like every story does, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, in the initial, the Aces and Eights, that was good because it was like Wes Briscoe and I forget who else. It was Wes Briscoe and somebody else that
Garrett,
were like the
Garrett Bischoff
that were like leading it for a while, and then they're like, no, we have an actual leader, and it turned out to be Bully Ray because he had just come out of WWE, I think, at that point. And everybody's like, Bully Ray?
No, he was there for a while, but it's like
they split him out of the tag team.
They split him out of the tag team, and it's like he married Brooke, and then but he was not revealed from Aces and Eights, but Taz revealed himself in Aces and Eights at the wedding, and it's like the big reveal was that Bully Ray turned out to be a part of Aces and Eights, and he's already married to Hulk Hogan's daughter, who was the GM of Impact at that point. So
yeah,
all craziness ensued.
Yeah, that's your boyfriend before you marry him, y'all. But totally Vegas quality.
I'd say hell.
You'd say match made hell. Okay, I'll give you that.
It led to more than being in Vegas quality.
Okay, fair. Rosemary and John E. Bravo, Impact 2021. This is where somebody got shot.
Yeah,
but it also had James Mitchell as the minister.
It did,
which is a baller move.
Both of these, the last two we have, the Penelope Ford, Kip Sabian had them theirs too. I'm going to put Kip Sabian and Penelope Ford in Vegas quality because it tried to mock all the stereotypes about wrestling weddings, so it deserves to be down the bottom.
You don't mock wrestling weddings. They're fun.
In terms of story, I say this is either heaven or hell.
I could go hell just based on what happened.
Yeah, I mean, it's all devious and destruction, and yeah.
Yeah, but again, James Mitchell is a minister. Does he actually do weddings?
I think he does.
That is fantastic.
So there you go, chat. Our wedding tier list.
Ta-da! Do you agree with our choices? We'll put the image out on Twitter so you guys can agree or disagree with our choices. Once Rock has a chance to do that. But yeah, I think that does it for us. What do you think?
It does, in fact, do it for us. Just taking the picture.
You're taking the picture.
Same picture. But that'll do it for us here on The Rack. Saturday night, midnight-ish. It's another edition of CB Radio. CBRadioLive.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. Brent's going to hate the debate. Brent knows what the debate is. He's going to hate it.
Ooh, tell me after.
I will. It's CB Radio Saturday night. It's midnight-ish. GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. Sunday night, it's the Super Bowl. Go watch it. Monday night, it's the Raw Post Show. 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be live next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to preview Elimination Chamber and talk about NXT Vengeance Day. It's Drac Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadio Network. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Game Support Channel by clicking that purple rectangle button below the screen. You can use credit code RocketSock or
Lynn's M Ward.
In the Fortnite Item Shop, where you can buy your Bruno Mars skins, or Epic Game Store. Why? When you buy your Primo Gems. Why?
Because I am a hash, or we are a hashtag we, Epic Partner.
We. So there's a we in this. Go.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LynsWard. You can go check out my YouTube channel, lynsward.rackradioshow.com, or just search for me on YouTube. I stream Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 6-ish to 8-ish p.m., and occasionally on the weekends, I stream Genshin Impact. So if you are interested in Genshin Impact, or just interested in hanging out with me as I stream the game, you are more than welcome to join me at any point. I'd be happy to have you, and please like the channel, subscribe, ring the bell. I've also produced some original content. Go me. I edited video. So go check that out as I talk all about the 2.5 stuff that is coming next week. And like Rock said, if you're going to do your crystal top-ups, use the creator code Lindsay Ward in the Genshin Impact store, because that would be awesome.
Chat, and don't forget to check out... Hold. Chat, friendly reminder, her Tuesday stream is going to be later. Like 10.
Probably. Why?
Isn't it downtime?
Oh, right. There's downtime on Tuesday. Sorry, it's gonna be later.
It's 10. Like, I'll be with her. I'll be cheering her on and doing things.
I'm probably not going to be rolling. I may roll one time. We'll just have to see. I don't know. I have to see how Ye plays. I may try to roll for her, but at this point, we are hardcore parkour saving for Ayato Kamisato because he is coming in 2.6, and Mama wants.
So I want to make smart ass jokes as she plays the game.
Yeah, basically. So yeah, check that out. Stream will be later on Tuesday. Thank you. Also, check out our very fine sponsor, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. And with that, we are going to take off for the night. So for Rock, I'm Lizzie Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we will see you later. Bye.